Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris. And boy, oh boy, do we have something to talk about today. The premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13 was a thing that happened, and we are here to break it all down. I don't even know what to say. I just want to jump right on in on this. So let me bring in our wonderful panel that we have for you today. First, a woman who really needs no introduction, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just, you know, finished power walking with your mom, and I'm just here to hang out and chat a little bit about the mess that was the premiere.
Love that Windbreaker girl. So fab. And of course, we have with us today Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about this. I think I might have like just a small change of heart that I'm excited to talk about. So happy to be back for another season of Drag Race.
Perfect. Can't wait to hear it. And wow. We have a very, very special guest with us here today. I seriously considered writing him so many apology letters for having him watch this episode, but if anyone can handle this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, it is our very own Rob Sesternino. Rob, welcome to the Drag Race.
Yes! I'm so excited to be here, and it's been a minute since I watched RuPaul's Drag Race, and yeah, it's such an interesting new format they've had over these last couple of years since I watched the show.
Yeah, it's actually right after season 8. It's completely changed. It's a different way
from the Yeah, game. Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just dive on in. So if for some reason you are listening to the podcast only and you did not watch the show, the traditional way that we do the introductions on the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race is all the queens enter, they talk to each other, they hang out for a little bit, get some shade, they read each other, and then we get a competition, some type of challenge, usually a design challenge, and then the queens are judged on the runway, tops and bottoms, the bottom two queens lip sync for their lives. Now, in this version of the premiere, we had 6 separate lip syncs. So, Amon, what was your first impression of this format change?
It was so much. I just felt like I was visually overstimulated. I felt like I didn't have enough time to sit with the queens. They tried to do this janky ass thing where they would bring them up on stage 2 by 2, and then the last group, a group of 3, and then like do a little mini interview with them to like, I don't know, ingratiate themselves with the queens. And then you send one of them home after trying to get to know one of them. I was like, what is going on here? So it was a lot, but I must say, and I don't know if this is, you know, allowing your brain to consume something once it already has, but I kind of enjoyed it a little bit more on my second rewatch.
Get out.
I'm not saying like it was like comparable to any of the other premieres ever, sure. But I was like, now that I'd had some time to actually digest, I was like, okay, I understand what they were going for. I still think it was a bad business decision. I mean, you're in season 13 of the show. There are still a lot of first time watchers that are just now coming into Drag Race. You don't have to switch it up so much because now you're beginning to alienate some of the people that have been here from the get go. So is it a good premiere? No. Did I enjoy it a little bit more watching it again? Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, Rob, you're not necessarily a day one watcher, mm-hmm. but, you know, this was definitely a change from what you've seen in the past. What was your first impression of the format of the premiere?
Yeah. So I will say that the lip sync for your life is my least favorite part of the Drag Race show. So I was not pumped up to see 6 lip syncs for your life to kick off the season. If we're going to go there, why don't we just start off Survivor season with Everybody Makes Fire day one.
Oh, my
them off 2 by 2. Let's get it going. That being said, I wonder, you know, just in hindsight, I wonder if maybe this might have been a response to filming a season during COVID, where I know that a lot of the tasks that normally happen in a season of Drag Race are somewhat involved leaving the place where they're shooting. And I wonder if maybe we're going to see maybe a smaller scale version of the season, maybe like in more of the bubble, and, you know, a way to sort of just use the area that they have blocked off already for the show, like that everybody is already quarantined in, was a way to do this. So I wonder maybe if it was just like a figuring out a way to do this during COVID more so than this was like a creative they've been waiting to do for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, I definitely had a similar thought that crossed my mind, like, oh, the workroom definitely looked bigger. They expanded it out a bit, and maybe they can only have a certain number of queens in the same room at the same time. And so this is sort of a way to break them up into, if we're going back to Survivor tribes. But right. It was still rough, even given that.
Yeah, I had this similar thought, but then I heard them say like that they're living together in a house. Instead of being like, normally they would go back to a hotel and they would have their own rooms. Typically they were like all on the same floor or something like that. But if they're all together in a house, which does make sense for quarantining purposes, I guess, but I'm sitting back and I'm thinking like, I mean, if they're all living together, why aren't they together on camera? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of feel like I think that what we've noticed, and we will get into this, I'm sure, with the lip syncs, is that, okay, let's just be honest here. RuPaul getting a little older, little things, just trying to change things up and not making the best decisions. I think that's what we're getting at here. Some of the choices that he even made with who won a lip sync, maybe
questionable.
Yeah. So I think that ultimately what you're seeing is similar to what we see with Survivor, right? You see choices in order to try to quote unquote revitalize the show, make it different. And sometimes you get edge of extinction. And I think this is, we have an edge on our hands.
The edge of extinction for, yeah. It's during the pandemic, I just feel like it's kind of inconsequential because do you really expect us to believe that you're going to send home half the cast in the middle of a pandemic when you spend all of this money making sure that they were, you know, clean and good to go? It just,
correct.
We know that this is just something that you're doing to like fool with the queen. So it just really feels, what's the point?
And it also, honestly, it came off as just cruel, like to the queens themselves. Like, it didn't come off as like some kind of funny twist or whatever. It came off as kind of cruel. And I was half expecting, was like, oh, is there going to be a 14th queen? And is it going to be Porkchop? Is she going to come back after? Like, that would have been fantastic. Like, oh, what a way to like really honor Porkchop and then have her come back into the competition. But I just kind of felt like, generally speaking, they're not going to cut half the cast immediately. Like, we all knew that. And I think as soon as Joey J, who was the first queen that gets the cut, saw somebody else walk in, I'm sure that they started thinking that as well. But it just wasn't, it just didn't come off as like joyous and excitable.
Mm-hmm. So now, Rob, did you watch this with commercials or did you watch without afterwards?
So I recorded this. I have a YouTube TV, and so I was able to skip the commercials. But we still got to get into a lot of commercials, I felt like, in the second hour of this show.
Yeah, I was thankful also did not watch it with commercials, but I heard from a couple of friends who did watch it with commercials that this was even more so a torturous experience because of the way that it was cut together. And it's not as bad, but still, when it's like, oh, when we come back from this commercial break, then we'll find the winner. You're like, no. Like, let's just start jumping through these. We have six freaking lip syncs.
I think that's a big reason as to why it was so much the second time, is because I just watched it all the way through with no commercials. So I didn't have to do this whole like waiting for the elimination. Let's just cut to the chase.
Like, no, yeah, exactly.
Well, I did watch it with commercials and I felt like in particular, the Untucked was just like, why is there a commercial literally every 30 seconds? It was so they're just saying the same thing over and over. Like, there was no point for an Untucked this time, but I just generally felt like, oh, wow. Maybe I need to go back and just watch it without the commercials and make it better, perhaps.
You don't need to rewatch that. I so for me, the comparison that I made was, and God, I really hope that it doesn't follow in the same footsteps as this season, but this season of Big Brother, The Table Maze, I was like, we're getting the same thing over and over and over again. Like, I don't need to watch four table mazes. I don't need to watch six lip syncs. Mm-hmm. And especially when the queens are caught off guard, I felt like that was another thing that probably lowered the quality, because when you're mentally preparing, you're in the workroom, like getting ready, or in the backstage, getting ready for the lip sync.
Yep.
You are like prepping your moves. You're thinking about how you're going to do it. And this was, oh, hey, like, now you're going to lip sync. I mean, clearly they knew the song. They were told about it beforehand, but they no one's going to expect to lip sync. And I think that that really dampened the quality of these lip syncs.
Definitely.
I'm interested to know if they all had to learn all six of the lip sync songs and they just got one at random, or if, because I know that they get an iPod full of all the songs that could potentially have throughout the entirety of the season. So were all six songs on the iPad, or did they know ahead of time, oh, you know, Candy and Joey are going to go against each other, so we're only going to have Call Me Maybe on theirs. So that's what I'm kind of interested in knowing a little bit more about.
So that's a good thing to know, because I was just thinking, like, well, what if you don't know the song? Yeah. You know, I just trying to put myself in their position, and I feel like,
well, I mean, it's happened, Rob. It certainly happened.
And do they just make fun of the person that they don't know the song? Like, Boomer, you didn't know the song.
Know the words.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a lot of tricks that you can do. So moves where you hide, you know, your mouth, you turn around, things like that. But yes.
From outfits you can wear, it's just mysteriously obscure your face. You know.
Can I also ask a question? Is the lip sync for your life, is that generally considered to be like everybody's favorite part of the show? Is it like a very popular segment?
When it's one of my favorites, yeah. Like, I grew up, like, when I first watched Drag Race many, many years ago, not really knowing what the show was, and then they were lip syncing at the end of the episode, I was like, oh my God, I used to do this in my room all the time. And you're like, you know, tell me I can get on reality TV to do this kind of stuff? So I personally like the lip syncs a lot. Yeah.
I think that the lip syncs are probably the thing that's closest to what many of the queens are doing in their professional lives. So for the most part, it's an exciting part of the show, because you're like, okay, they might not be good at putting together their own outfit, but this is how they make money. So let's see them perform. But I do think that there are some lip sync songs that the producers choose. I'm like, really? And then there's other times that just the queens just don't bring it. And it just like really brings down, if that's the last thing in the episode, it can really bring down an entire episode, just if the lip sync's not that good.
That's true.
It's a good nightcap, but I'm not drinking it the whole night. Like, I like like, that's why I don't want six of them in one go. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Especially because, yeah, it was just really repetitive, the format. It was like, oh my God, I'm the first girl here. Oh, hey, another queen. We're going to chit chat. Okay. Oh no, what's going on? Oh my God, I'm not expecting to lip sync. Lip sync, one person goes home. Anyway, like, it was just...
You can even tell that RuPaul's like little message, and that it was getting worse and worse and worse. The last one was main stage, now.
Now.
Oof, okay, well, let's just go through this. I'm excited actually to hear Rob's impressions of some of the queens. Like, we had the, you know, we did the preview podcast, Beth and Amon, where we went through everybody. But I think this is going to be great to hear what Rob thinks of some of these queens. And we started off strong. So I put together a few little fun graphics here.
Very nice graphics.
Thank you. It's the blur feature in PowerPoint for the features. This is a great plug. If you're listening to the podcast, keep on keeping on. But if you would like to watch the video version, check out the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page, where you can see my beautiful pictures that I have taken screenshots of the episode. And of course, our lovely faces. So our first matchup is between Candy Muse and Joey J. This was also the first 10 minutes or so of the episode that was actually put out by World of Wonder beforehand. So a lot of us had the opportunity to watch it before, and we got to meet Candy and Joey. So, Rob, what was your first impression of Candy Muse and Joey J?
So Candy Muse seems like a big personality, very fun, had a lot of, confessionals throughout the episode. So I really liked Candy Muse, but I felt like that Joey J, I didn't really get what she was going for as much. What is a filler queen? Can I ask a question? If I heard filler queen a bunch of things, is this a catchphrase for Joey J, or is this a different thing?
It's a questionable catchphrase.
So filler queen is a phrase that's used throughout the fandom to essentially describe
like Dr. Will.
No
filler.
I mean, it can work for that as well.
Yeah.
Get that Juvederm. This is not like the Botox or like the fillers, but it's essentially represents a queen that they needed an extra slot. They needed an extra queen. They had an extra slot
and a replacement.
She's the padding for the season in order to get to like the real meat and potatoes of it. You know, that kind of thing.
So. Right. Can't put too many good queens on one season. Mm-hmm. It's just an all-star seasons.
It is interesting because there's a lot of people, including myself, who are out there who say like, okay, they definitely put some queens on who have a either weaker sense of self, a weaker, drag persona for television in comparison to some other queens. Like you can look at some queens. Like I look at season 11, for example, and it was like, there were 12 filler queens and 2 good queens. And like, they were the final 2. And like, you could see it coming the entire time. So it's an interesting perspective to come in and say filler queen as your catchphrase. But I kind of dug that. I was like, all right, if you own that, then go for it.
I mean,
I will say that, Rob, we talked a lot about, when we did our preseason podcast for the show, we talked a lot about Joey J and how, in all of her preseason interviews, she like was representing like this rock sort of like gothic, really punk style with like a shaved head, purple hair. And that seemed to be like her main shtick. And I was like, okay, Joey, is that all we're going to get? And so when she walked in, I didn't recognize who that was. And when she said Joey J and the little bottom third or lower third came on, I was like, oh, okay. I stayed corrected, bitch. I guess you do. Or you're going to bring something else to this season. So I was kind of pleased, even if the chicken, Candy didn't like the chicken feathers. I was just pleased to see her not looking like a motorcycle chick. I was like, all right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Her whole Meet the Queens video was, I don't wear wigs. I don't wear wigs. I don't wear wigs. And shows up wearing a wig. So, let's see. She also doesn't eat spicy foods, likes Vanessa Carlton. So I think we're really getting some character development here for Joey.
Yes. Yeah.
I really got a sense of who she was besides the clucking and the bucking. She really likes Vanessa Carlton. So
stuck
not
on
a one-hit wonder.
Okay, yeah. Now follow me here. And I already know that there are some people that already agree because I saw a tweet on Twitter. So I was watching the premiere and Candy came on the screen and I was like, oh my God, who does she remind me of? And I sat there racking my brains for so long. I was like, there is something about her voice that is very familiar. And then it dawned on me, Candy, like if this person had a gay brother that did drag, Candy Muse sounds like Josh Martinez, does she not? It's like in the timbre of the voice. It's not a correct, like it's not an exact replica, but like there's like certain inflections of way that they pronounce words that I'm like,
I'm kind of here for this though. Can we put Candy Muse in the challenge?
I just hear it. I hear there's something there. And I was like, and then I was about to tweet it. And then I saw literally the first tweet on my timeline was like, does anybody think that Candy sounds like Josh? I was like, yes, yes, yes.
I love this. I would love to see her and Josh on a season of the challenge together. I would love the idea of them fighting, but it's just the same voice going back and forth. Like, she would bring the drama with it. It would be great.
Oh, she would. She would. I'm here for it.
Getting into fights for no reason. Yeah, I could. I'm going to have to pay attention to that. We also got a little bit of an update on the Aja stuff. We got some more shade thrown at Aja, but apparently they went live on Instagram or something and like squashed it. They were like, oh, no, seriously, we're fine. No big deal. Because this had been out for a few days, like I mentioned before. So we're all good on the Aja Candy stuff.
Yeah, she said the house of Aja had been dismembered. I was like, oh,
okay. She said dismembered. And it was like, oh, crap.
Krueger. All right, let's hop on over just to the lip sync, because we get Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe, which I think we saw in the Canadian version of Drag Race. So I was like, I've definitely heard this before on a Drag Race.
Yes. Yes.
But we get Candy standing there awkwardly. That was one thing that I noticed. She explained her, oh, well, actually, you know what? Let's talk about their little interviews, which is actually the one redeemable thing that I think came from this episode, was we at least got a little bit of discussion with the judges. They got to ask them some questions, because typically the first time the judges will meet the queens is when they're doing that runway on the very first episode. So this was look, you get to meet them right away. You get to have a little interrogation, go through them. And I thought that was a really nice addition to, like, if we're going to keep one thing from this mess of a premiere.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Do the other, are there judges? I don't want to use the wrong terminology, mm-hmm. but do they have any say in who wins the lip syncs, or they're just there to say hello?
They're there to provide feedback, but mm-hmm. Rue and the producers ultimately make the final decision.
Yeah. I think that the biggest hit that they have is like deliberating with who should be in the bottom, but the ultimate decision usually comes down to Rue on who will go home. So
mm-hmm. we get Ross. Yeah. So it's always the judges are Michelle Visage, Ross Matthews, and Carson will usually swap out of Ross Matthews, of course, Celebrity Big Brother fame. But I think my guess is they're not going to be able to have a lot of guest judges, right? Like, because of COVID.
I was surprised by that, because I mean, Hollywood is just running like normal. You know what I mean? I would have felt like there would have been opportunity for them to just nab one person a week, but I guess not, because there's usually a big celebrity first judge and nothing.
Yeah. I think that honestly, one of my theories was typically the first episode has some big judge, right? It's a Miley Cyrus, it's a Lady Gaga, it's a somebody like that. And I'm wondering if they said, okay, in lieu of the fact that we can't get a lot of celebrity judges, or we can't get someone as big, let's try to change up the premiere a lot. Like, that's one of my theories, is like, let's make it so it's not necessary to have a celebrity judge in the first episode. I do know that they
feel... Rihanna's not coming? All right, do it.
I do feel like I think they film like an hour and a half north of Los Angeles now. So I don't know if maybe just if you're in a different county, what the regulations are with filming. I don't know.
There's Rob might know this.
Yes.
Do you have any idea?
might and might not. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there are things that are filming in Hollywood. So that I think that the restrictions, I don't think necessarily it's like it's not a law mandate of who can come in and who can come out. But I do wonder if people are sort of like having to, you know, come in and quarantine for a certain amount of time, if they're sort of like on a campus and they're just basically, rather than take the chances of bringing people in and out, if it's sort of just like a closed set for what they're doing.
They had those little plexiglass things on the side, which I didn't even notice until Ross brought out the squeegee. I didn't even see it. So
when Michelle made that joke, I was like,
why are you a bank teller?
Yeah. That's true. They probably should have cut to Ross first, even though he always introduces Michelle first.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the one thing, again, I want to add is, like, because we got to discuss with the judges, and I think this kind of goes to Rob's point of the queens meeting the judges, of Joey J was so freaking awkward. Like, I don't know if that stood out. Like, I don't know where, Rob, like, you kind of noticed. Because for me, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, maybe she's okay in the workroom. But then once it got to the judges, I was like, can we drop the chicken thing? Like, I know you're wearing chicken feathers.
She's but clucking and bucking.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Clucking and bucking, girl.
I don't recognize this girl, not only because of the wig, but also because she just seems drastically different from what she was like in the interviews. It was just like...
I'm just surprised that you're telling me that she has a whole other persona, because I thought that she was okay. She's a half chicken, half human. I thought that's what she's going for. Like her whole thing was about being a chicken person.
Mm-hmm. What is that in the lip sync song?
Yeah.
Chicken dance. Mark, mark.
But you know what's interesting here is, like, I genuinely feel like you have to think about what it must be like. You think you're going into the workroom to meet, you know, 12 other queens or so, and instead you meet one other queen and you immediately meet the judges. in your intro outfit, which normally is something that you wouldn't put on the runway because you're more confident about this is who I am as a drag queen before they put limitations on what I need to do. So now you have to go talk to Michelle Visage and RuPaul and Carson and Ross. And you're probably just so thrown off. You could see, like, Candy strikes me as somebody who has, like, all the confidence in the world in herself. And she was so quiet and awkward and weird. Even throughout the lip sync, I felt like that was the case. And it just has to be so nerve-wracking just to have everything you ever knew about the show, what you would get to do, like, those sacred first few moments in there, just be thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Also, she had to dodge the molting feathers from Joey's outfit as well. I mean, that's just like, that's OSHA issue, I feel like. I don't know if it's as bad as marbles on the stage, but it's pretty close. Well, the lip sync that we get for the two of them is, like I mentioned before, Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe. Isn't this, Rob, was this the song of the summer?
Song of the decade. Song of the decade.
Oh my gosh, how could I disparage that? It was great to hear here. And we, you know, we can talk about the lip sync. I don't know if, Beth, did you have any, like, major impressions from the lip sync?
I actually honestly felt, so we had two very different styles here. We had Joey, who I felt like had a lot of energy, but it didn't really necessarily match what was happening in the song. Like, she just kind of was doing things with her arms and such. But then you had Candy, who, like, she had the gag where she was, like, pressing the button to start the music on her, like, little radio thing. But then, for the most part, I just felt like she was just kind of awkward. You could tell, like, she was, like, so nervous in her eyes, like, so I couldn't get involved with, like, her performance. But I don't know, I personally felt like Joey edged out Candy in this, and when Candy won, I was kind of like, I guess I can see it, but I don't know, it was such an awkward introduction, I felt like, to the whole twist itself.
It was
I felt like Candy won here. I do, but it was not by a large margin by any means. I felt like she, I mean, like Liana said, like, there, everything just seemed a little bit awkward and brought down. A large part of that has to do with the fact that they didn't know that this was going to happen, which in a way I'm kind of happy about, because sometimes Drag Race can come off very kitschy and very campy and very put on, like, and you just, you know, roll your eyes like, oh yeah, you know this is going to happen, like, why are you, like, we know that this DR was filmed months after the season. You know, we know that you're just putting on a show. But I genuinely get the feeling that they had no idea that this is going to happen. Like, even, I mean, you, even down to the outfit choice, right? Like, they thought that there was going to be entrance looks. And so you get Candy, like, holding on to her boobs the entire time, because this is not a lip sync outfit for her. This is just for display purposes only. So I think she even tweeted, she was like, yeah, I was making sure my titties didn't fall out because I wasn't supposed to be wearing this. So this is,
yeah, she said, I didn't want to show any nipples so that I could get some more camera time.
Well, I'm trying to remember what the blurring nipple situation is for Drag Race. I think when they're in girl drag, I think when they're in drag, they blur nipples, right? But then they don't when they're out. It's very complicated. It's very complicated. Well, so Rob, if you had to pick a winner here, I want, who brought it?
I'm not the right person to ask on the picking the lip sync winners. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be looking for here. But my question was that, if did the production, like, stack the matchups of, like, okay, we really want Candy Muse for the season, so put her up against Joey J. There's no chance Joey J will knock out Candy Muse here.
Yeah, that's a good question, Amon. What do you think? For some of them, I thought maybe, and then other ones, I was like, well, missed opportunity to put mother versus daughter. So we also have two queens who are in the same family. And so they're competing, but we didn't see them matched up against one another.
And they ended up in different rooms, so they never even saw each other.
I definitely believe that there is sometimes a little producer finagling to get this queen against that queen, because maybe you want to save one of them, or maybe you just want the drama of it. We saw a showman's perform together one time. We have seen...
Whoa.
We have seen some questionable decisions. Like, maybe a queen that's been doing very, very well the entire time ends up in the bottom, so they give her another really, even worse queen to go against, so they make sure that she stays. So we've seen that a couple times before, and I do get the feeling for this one, when they get to handpick, it definitely was intentional, because they're trying to split up certain queens so that they can have, like, a payoff. Like, with the mother-daughter dynamic, we've never had that on Drag Race before. Of course they're not going to send the both of them home immediately, because they want to get that mother-daughter dynamic. So yeah, I think there's a little bit of finagling here.
All right, let's skate on over to our next lip sync. And that is Miss Denali versus Lala Rob. Are you a big ice skater?
No, I'm not a big ice skater.
I was shocked that they didn't have her change. I was like, she's gonna cut up the whole floor and they're gonna have to redo it.
This is the thing I was most concerned about the entire episode, even like well after they were done. I was like, but like, are other queens coming in and being like, there are divots all over the stage. I'm tripping. What is happening? Because
it is so bad. It's so bad. Like, those floors look freshly lacquered too. Like, that was like one of the things that I noticed the most about the workroom, is that the floor was so shiny. And I'm like, did they do this intentionally so that this bitch could skate across? Like, what is going on? I just feel like this is such bad planning. Like, and another reason as to why I'm sure they had no idea that this was going to happen, because I just feel like someone on production should be like, I don't think that this is safe for her to be on ice blades on this runway. I just feel like we're asking for a hazard to occur. Like, it just
does not for make her. Any sense.
Yeah,
exactly.
She could have cut Lala Reed.
Well, is it possible? Does Denali have maybe like modified ice skates, which are just not typical normal ice skates?
That's possible. I was looking because they have the covers that go over the blades. I was looking for those, but I didn't see any of those. Regardless, I don't even know how I can barely walk in ice skates. That is very challenging. The fact that she not only came in with the ice skates, but then did the whole lip sync in them. Yeah, I was very impressed. I was nervous there was going to be a Blades of Glory moment where someone was going to get cut. It was just, I was like shocked the whole time this was happening. She looks fabulous. Looks gorgeous. Love the braid. Great entrance
that
look.
Braid dangerous, is a lot.
But not her fault. You know what I mean? Production. Freaking production.
I was most impressed when after she lost the lip sync, I could watch her walk down the stairs. And then I was like, oh, this is the most impressive thing I've seen so far in the premiere.
At least it wasn't a walk of shame in a nice game. Okay. And then we also have Lala Ri here. This entrance look, Aman, actually described as ratchet, one of Rob's favorite new
ones.
So, okay, here's the thing. I knew exactly what she was going for. And so I had like a little bit more, I gave her, I cut her some slack here because she's paying homage to the one, the only Miss Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter on her On the Run 2 tour. This is one of her looks. Is it a good execution of the look? Some things are left to be desired, but I appreciate, you know, the reference to pop culture. I was sending you guys a link so that you guys can see what she was referencing.
Gotcha.
Definitely has. I mean, the mask is also fitting. Like, not only is it meets the Beyonce reference, but also it's COVID times. Yeah. So that's perfect. Let's see if we can pop.
Also similar to the Big Brother 22 premiere.
Also similar, yeah.
I always, when I look at the two now next to each other, all I can see is if Lala Ri was wearing ice skates, she looks like the partner to Denali, like if they were to do an ice skating routine.
Yeah, like holding her hand as she walks out.
I just felt like, to me, this looked more like...
The titular Beyonce look in question over here. Mm-hmm. They're the eponymous. I'm not sure which one. Anyway, so yeah, all right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
I just wish that it didn't look like a coat that... Yeah, like, I wish it had like an opening that Beyonce is kind of wearing.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's awful.
Like, not tailored all the way. And I feel like the proportions are just not quite right.
It also, it just looks cheap too. It looks like a cheap material. It doesn't look as like if it's a little bit more sheer, maybe I would like it a little bit better if it was a little, I don't know. I just was like, girl, you're going to walk in and this is your
she's
first
just lucky
look.
That Denali has skates on, because if it were like, if there was any other pairing, she might have went home. So
she might have gotten the pork chop and then cue the pig squealing noise that they did every time they said pork chop.
It's very Big Brother. Mm-hmm. The sound effects. Rob, what was your first impression of Denali and Lala Ri?
Well, Lala Ri said that she was like a Olive Garden with a side of Popeye's chicken sandwich. And I really didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Do you want to be Olive Garden?
I mean,
she's saying she's like fake bougie with like a little dash of hypertension.
Okay.
I feel like I kind of relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God.
It's a mixture of, yeah, when you're home, your family, isn't that the Olive Garden? When you're home, your family and Louisiana fast. That's the mixture of the two. I don't know what that means.
Endless breadsticks.
Sounds delicious.
Denali, you know, I like what she's going for. I like that she's more of a Tanya Harding than a Nancy Kerrigan. That's going back to our Cosmo quizzes. Are you a good girl hot or bad girl hot? That's the ultimate battle, Nancy Kerrigan versus Tanya Harding.
Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up on Wikipedia. Definition of bad girl and good girl hot. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Galooly falls in that, but I mean, I had fun with the two of them. You know, Lala Ri was someone who we weren't. She seems really fun as a person, but maybe not as polished, I think, as evidenced by the hem of this garment. Here.
And also the wig. The wig.
Yeah, wig. Tragic. Yeah.
It's a tragic pandemic, but like, come on now, girl. Come on.
For the lip sync, at what point do you give Denali the handicap of you are in skates? Because I guess I got the ultimate decision. They lip synced to Pussycat Dolls When I Grow Up. But just the fact that Denali did it in freaking ice skates. They're heavy. Ice skates are heavy.
And she whipped that braid too. Like I tweeted this out. She's literally an assassin with both the blades and the braid going on. Like
very Tanya Harding.
Like she said, hey, I'm a Tanya Harding, and then showed it. But I definitely think, for me, I generally was more impressed by her because she was on skates. She was really moving. She wasn't just standing one place. She went all over the place. Did she do a cartwheel too? Like she did something like kind of impressive that I was like, I can't even do a cartwheel with, you know, just socks on. Like this is crazy. I don't know.
It's hard because like there is a piece of me that's like, should she get extra points just because she decided to wear skates? Because this wasn't intentional. She didn't know that she was going to have to lip sync. So that kind of falls more on the judges. It's their fault for not telling her. Because I'm sure if she had known that she had to lip sync, those skates wouldn't be on. So I kind of struggle with it. I think that what really made Lala Ri come out on top here was the fact that she kind of performed a bit more to the judges. She was kind of looking at them a little bit more. And she made Ru laugh. Denali kind of took a more performance esque approach to the lip sync, whereas Lala did some choreography and also injected a little bit of comedy in there. And as long as you make RuPaul laugh, you're golden. So I think that's ultimately would have had her etch her out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the golden rule of Drag Race: make RuPaul laugh, then you're good.
I think one of the things that Lala said, and Rob, maybe you can help me with this phrase: the class and the sex. I don't believe that is the phrase.
Why do you feel like I could help you with that?
Didn't you and Robin and Kiva came up with a catchphrase? I felt like this was one that was in your guys' list, right?
What was the context? She said she was bringing the class and the sex?
It was the class and the ass, right? Like, is that... It was the class and the sex. It's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I think that's a thing.
Yeah, I think Michelle tried to help her with that. She was like, and the ass, right? She's like, yeah.
Sure. Okay, let's hop on over to our next matchup. So we have Simone versus Tamisha Amon, and Simone was someone who we were really high on coming into the season. I think Beth and I both had her ranked number one, and Simone for me really didn't disappoint. Like she's a star, Beth.
100%. She walked in with Polaroid photos of herself as a dress with that beautiful smile and that amazing attitude and everything. And I just was like, oh yeah, no, she's good. She's golden. She could literally do no wrong in this premiere. And that's really saying something because a lot went wrong in this premiere. But I thought she really looked beautiful. And this is something that, it's very rare that you're seeing queens come in with something as unique as this outfit. I really think of queens like Ivy Winters who have this, or even Alaska, who have this ability to make trash and make it couture or take any materials around it. And if Simone can do that outside of this dress, like if she could bring that to this competition, boy, is she going to be someone you can't sleep on.
Yeah, she's a sample size. That definitely helped. But I still think that just her presence was really outstanding. And Tamisha was someone who I was maybe lower on coming into the season, but oh my gosh, it was captivating to me. And Rob, I think her story of, oh, I've been doing drag for 30 years. I had cancer, was supposed to be on season 12 that was wow. Amazing.
Well, when we talk about that, this twist was really mean, especially if you weren't going to really kick these people off. I mean, she came back from having cancer. She was on the show last season. And then you're going to make her lose in the first episode and feel like she has to go home. Come on. Yeah. Let her stay. Just let her stay. You know, you just had colon cancer. You get to stay. You make it to episode 2.
Thank you. 100%. 100%.
And what's wild?
Don't get the pork chop.
Colon cancer. She probably shouldn't be eating pork chops. But they put her up against Simone also, who we all felt so good about. Come on. The producers must have felt good about Simone. You're going to put these two queens up against each other, Amon? It just felt like such a terrible decision. You're the production guru. Like, can't you read them? Can't you tell them to say something otherwise?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think there was like a little bit. Because I think that they obviously wanted to split Tamisha Iman and Lala Ri up. And if you don't know, Rob, Tamisha Iman is Lala Ri's drag mother. So obviously they wanted to split that up to, you know, keep the anticipation going so that when they finally meet, it's like this big moment or whatever.
Yeah. Can you explain that concept to me?
So typically, like in the drag community, people that just now get started off in drag, you can either just start doing drag on your own or you can join what's known as a drag house, which has drag mothers.
And like TikTok collaborators.
Exactly the same. Yes.
Yeah.
Sort of the same thing.
And then your drag mother is sort of like in the Jedi Order when you take a Padawan and then you learn everything from them.
That is exactly it. Yes.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They kind of guide you into learning how to harness the Force.
Yes. You only have one Padawan learner in the same way that you can only have. Is it the same?
I guess
no. You can have.
Multiple.
Yeah, you can have many. Yeah. It's a family, so you can have as many kids as you want.
Right. You can also have a few different mothers too. Like, there's mm-hmm. queens that like the queen that put them into drag the first time is mm-hmm. their drag mother, but maybe the one who mentored them the most when they were younger as a queen mm-hmm. is another mother. So there's people mm-hmm. have different approaches to that.
Maybe we should have that in podcasting, where then you have a pod father and a pod mother that. Guide the new podcasters.
But you are our pod father, Rob.
Yeah, well, I can't be for everybody.
Why not?
Well, because he's got a pass.
We have to sign like a.
That's not what these headphones say.
Yeah. We have to sign. When we get a new person, we have to sign a pod mother or father for them.
This is turning into a whole like fraternity sorority thing, too. Just the idea like this is, this is your little your
mentor. Big.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just like complete the analogy. Okay, so if Rob is Tamisha Iman, who is Qui-Gon Jinn, then we can all be Obi-Wan Kenobis and Anakin's. Like, you don't have to give up Obi-Wan, okay? And that's Lala Ri also, again, to complete the analogy here. Yes. But I love that. I'm here for our little Rob has a podcast family. Oh my God, the house of, what would we call it? The house of RHAP?
Yes.
But instead of saying RHAP, it would have to be rap.
House of rap.
The house of rap.
Rap. Okay. Rap. We'll put a poll out.
House of HAUS as well. You have to
spell it. Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
And R-H-A-U-S. Yeah.
That's right. And let us not forget, Rob does have a drag persona.
Yes.
Rob's persona is Becky Belding.
Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Oh my God.
I'm loving it.
As long as I'm not related to Gene Hackwoman, I think I'm okay.
Well, I love Simone's look. This was another fashion reference as well. Apparently Gisele Bundchen wore a dress for a magazine.
I'm not a fan of hers.
I'm not a fan of hers, but I am a fan of the dress. I sent another link to, in the chat if you want to pull that up. But she looks good. So good. Oh, in it. Yeah. I appreciate her pulling the references, but I do agree. I did not like this pairing together because the minute they got paired together, I was like, okay, well, obviously she's going to send Tamisha up out of here. And I mean, and I really appreciated Tamisha's performance because she, I mean, they got a Janet Jackson song. She was clearly doing the Janet Jackson choreography, but on the same hand, I feel like that was kind of like it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she really didn't do enough. Whereas Simone kind of gave you a little bit of comedy. She was really interpreting the lyrics and telling you the story of the song and all of that. Just really, she was just really in her bag, and she knew that Tamisha was going to bring it. So she really just kind of just like, I'm not going to let you take this from me. Like, I know that you are, you know, a mother, you are a house mother, but I can't, you know, just lay down and die for you. So she did what she had to do. And she looked so good. I don't know what you call that stuff that you put on your skin to make you glisten like that. But I was like, she was like freshly lacquered and then like
just like before.
Throughout the entire pandemic, only to be opened up for this exact lip sync. I was just like, what is this? She's like glistening.
Mm-hmm. It's like, body oil. Yeah, so they lip sync to The Pleasure Principle by Janet Jackson, just to throw that in there.
I felt like Tamisha brought the moves, but again, I'm someone who's really captivated by people's eyes and their faces. And she, again, I think she almost had a defeatist look in her eyes. They asked her the question. This is before we learn about her cancer struggle, that where they said, you know, 30 years, are you as good as ever? And she said, I used to be better. And you just kind of, for me, I was like, oh, that's not a good attitude. And then she goes on to explain, well, you know, a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer and I had to, you know, supposed to be in season 12. And I kind of felt like right after that, to be thrown into a lip sync, it's like I felt like she was thinking, well, I'm not as good as I used to be. This is a young queen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I know the Janet Jackson moves, whatever. But I could see in her face a lack of confidence. And I think if she had more energy in her face, yeah, I think it could have been even closer of a lip sync against Simone.
I kind of liked what she said when she said, like, I'm not as good as I used to be, but I'm as good as I should be. You know what I mean? Like, considering all the stuff that I've been through, like, maybe I'm not what I was doing. I'm not doing those backflips no more, but I'm still here. And you cast me for season 12. And shout out to her for saying cast and not casted, because it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
I felt myself really rooting, though, for the people that like had a resume more so than people that were coming in, like Simone, that were only in drag for 6 months. Is that right? That's what she said. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was like, I feel like that she earned it more. She deserves to be here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was just going to say, she's somebody that we discussed this in the premiere episode as well, but she is one of the oldest cast members we've ever had on the show. So I love when you can get somebody who's had a lifelong career. Specifically, if you think about the past 30 years, how many changes there have been within the drag scene, within the LGBTQ community, how many advances we've made, but how many things we still need to fight for equality and equity and representation, all those different kinds of things. And to have her on her screen, specifically after everything she's personally gone through, what a wonderful cast person. Yeah. Like, I'm so happy she's on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Rob, because I feel like, especially with Tamisha, because there have been so many queens of late that have come through this show that are younger, that are always talking about, oh, I represent an older era of drag. I'm more of like the original classic. And I'm like, okay. But so what I appreciate about Tamisha is that she actually is. And it's not like this performative type deal. And it's not to say that all queens that try to bring back the old stuff are being performative per se, but I just like that it is authentic to her time. Like, this is all that she knows. And she talks about it in her interview. She's like, look, I'm a pageant girl. I've been doing this down in the South for for 30 years. Like, I know what I'm doing. You know, anybody can be a drag queen, but it takes a Tamisha to drag up an Iman. And I really liked that she knew what she knows her stuff. So I'm sad that she's out right now. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to see what she can do when she comes back, hopefully.
And let me just say to everybody in the Pork Chop Lounge, so help me God, if you're gonna vote out Tamisha now.
I'm a black queen, okay? They can't vote her out.
That was the best moment when Tamisha was like, well, I'm the only black queen here, so you can't vote for me. And I was like, yes!
I was living for her in the Pork Chop Lounge, which I don't know if that's the official name, but we're going to run with it because it's fabulous.
Loading dock or whatever.
Loading dock. Yeah. The lady said, go home.
When the other guy, I know.
Attitude about it.
I love how much grace she took it, because I mean, I would be pissed. Like, if I got cast for season 12, I get cancer of all things. I can't come. And then you invite me back and then I'm out again. And then
she's in the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of a pandemic. She's like, oh, thank you so much for this opportunity. Like, I know when I'm beaten, I've been in pageant before. So I was just like, oh my God, like, you're handling this so well. So like, when she said that, like, I'm the only black girl send me home, I was like, yes, like, fight for yourself. Don't go home. Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have to keep her safe. So let's just, from the pandemic, so let's just keep her in the house regardless, I think, just in case something does go wrong. So top five human, Randy Newpole sent this to me, that apparently Tamisha was replaced by Jada Essence Hall on season 12, or at least that's the rumor, because Jada had one less week than all the other queens to get prepared for season 12. So, and that the type kind of fits. We got pageant queen. So it, that's definitely seems to be
won.
The case.
Wow.
That's and then crazy. She won, right? Isn't that crazy? She was replacement and won the season of season 12. Sorry, Rob, spoilers. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup. And that is Gottmik versus Utica Queen. So Gottmik describes her drag as campy, spooky artist stuff, artistry stuff. She's a celebrity makeup artist. And then Utica Queen, the wacky inflatable man of drag queens, which is a description I've never heard before, Rob.
No, hadn't heard that before. it fits, though.
Yeah.
Utica Queen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Especially with those pants. They're just very wacky.
There's a lot going on there. There was a lot going on there. This was a wild matchup for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was when I wasn't surprised. I was very surprised with that they put these two queens against each other. And Beth, I think Utica was, what, your second to top queen? Like, you ranked her number two. Like, you were super high on Utica.
I was super high on Utica. She was definitely my top four. I think she might have been... I don't know if she was number two. I mean, she might have been my number two. I can't remember. But she, to me, I think is really interesting. I don't hate the different patterns. I actually think it's really, it works for whatever reason. I'm with Michelle. Why are you wearing a strawberry on your head?
And she she overcame so much.
I overcame
my allergic.
Allergic. That strawberry fascinator is hilarious.
Yeah. About that, she was like, you know, it just, I had to overcome that. You don't overcome an allergy. Like, it's still
maybe
there.
Maybe she got those allergy shots.
So that bitch maybe just wanted to wear a strawberry pillow on her head. And that's just where the story ends.
And I'm totally fine with that, but I just died. So I was watching on Zoom with one of my friends while the episode was airing, and my other friends were also in Zoom, but they were, they lived together. They were watching on a television, and the television was 30 seconds ahead, and they literally typed to me in the chat, wait until the strawberry comment. And so then it pops up, and I was like, I did not disappoint. I actually really like these two going up against each other, because this is two different forms of quote unquote clown drag, an idea that there are people who are like fashion clowns. There are people who are like more of a traditional clown. Like, you have all this other stuff. And I really love that Gottmik and Utica really have this kind of quote unquote clown aesthetic. Mm-hmm. To have them go up against each other was kind of, I thought, an interesting choice.
And Rob loves clowns. So,
I am very much anti-clown. So I almost felt like that Utica Queen, I almost did not even recognize as a clown, because Gottmik really was way more overpowering in clown scariness.
If you could rank clown scariness, the scale of clown scariness.
But just to add to Utica Queen, I had some friends recently who were debating the merits of a giant strawberry, and I do think in practice it does work here.
Yeah, I really didn't know about Gottmik's entrance look. And I was like, I'm not really feeling this that much. And then Utica popped up and I was like, okay, well, by comparison, I get it now.
It's the clown regional.
A strawberry fascinator. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That part of the bracket. Mm-hmm. Well, they get to lip sync to Rumors by Lindsay Lohan, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And I'm so happy that it finally made it onto Drag Race. But I felt like both of them were so nervous. And I think it really hurt the performance here.
It was a waste of this song.
Oh.
Agreed.
The pop music gaze go up for this song. Everybody loves this damn song. And they've been wanting it on Drag Race forever. And then it's sort of like, this is what we get from it. I mean, I think they got it wrong this time. I think that Utica actually won this.
Whoa.
I think that she was hilarious. I loved when she was like gyrating on the floor at the very end. And I just felt like Gottmik was just flailing about. I thought that Utica really deserved to win this. So, yeah.
I agree with you, Aman. I was watching. All my friends were happy that Gottmik won. And I'm happy that Gottmik won. Gottmik's also in my top four. So having two of the people who were in my top four come together, I knew this was going to be hard for me. But I laughed more at Utica. I felt like RuPaul laughed at Utica. Mm-hmm. And I thought the golden rule is you make RuPaul laugh, you get to stay. And that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, Utica Queen was very nervous. She said that she could feel it in her nuggets. And it's such a huge weekend for nuggets.
It's been a big nugget weekend. I think, I wonder if we felt those 100 nuggets. In his nuggets. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to
definitely watch the stream.
Oh, Lord. Aman.
I was just going to say that she's hilarious in the DR. I think that Utica is probably going to be one of this season's. I hope she sticks around so that she can be this season's narrator because I liked watching her. I just think that she's funny. And I feel bad now that I think I gave her like an 8 or a 9. I was like, not here for the Utica shit. I was like, this is just giving me like Evie Oddly knockoff. But like, no, I think I understand Utica a bit more now. So I'm here for her.
She looks like Thorgy Thor in boy drag. Yeah, as a boy. So, you know, that's lovely. Love that. Love to see it.
One thing I do want to just touch on for the interview portion is I'm thankful that they didn't make I feel like there's history with Gottmik being, you know, the first trans man to be on the show, you know, as a queen, the first assigned female at birth contestant ever, which is that's huge. And I'm happy they talked about it, but they didn't make that her narrative for the entirety of the episode. And there's such a danger when you have these kind of identities that are the first where it's like, that's all you know them as. And yes, that's an important part of who they are, but it's not all of who they are. And on a show like this that celebrates the LGBTQ community, I think it's important. And I applaud them, at least for the first episode. Let's see what they do with the rest of the narrative for the rest of the season, to not be like, wow, didn't we do great because we got a trans man on the show? Like, I just wanted to just give some props to the editing for that, because important to touch on, not necessarily the most important thing about Gottmik as a contestant, though. So
the most important thing is that this look is petrifying and gives me nightmares. So scary. Gottmik.
Oh no, I'm nervous if Rob ever watches anymore. This is it. He's done. It's too scary.
Is Gottmik going for a pun off of Got Milk?
Yes and no.
And that's why and that's why Gottmik has like an all white face, because it's like, Got Milk? Yeah, I do. It's like a milk mustache that has like grown over her entire face.
I'm actually pretty sure Lindsay Lohan was in those Got Milk posters when I was growing up.
Oh my gosh, the connections. Now we know why Rumors was a thing. No, I know that when she originally started and created Gottmik, she did do that as like an homage to Got Milk, but not like necessarily the only reason for it. And then has since kind of sometimes hates the fact that she's gone with Got Milk because everybody thinks it says Got Milk. So she's used to it, but yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
But anytime I'm seeing somebody with like a all white mask, it's very scary. I don't like the killer from Scream. I don't like Sequester Bot. I don't like anybody that's like, oh, like I'm gonna do a all, you know, white mask. Very creepy. Don't like it.
Okay, Halloween has to be a really rough time for you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I don't hockey like mask probably is not good.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I'm a skeleton. Nope.
I got a note to self. If I ever podcast with Rob again, make sure you tan a little bit before, because I sometimes border on just all white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't white. Be like, oh, I'm doing Rob, I'm doing a facial mask right now.
Okay, I get freaked out by those though too. Those. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Depends on the mask. But yeah, we'll leave the clown white at home. Nina Bonina Brown would be upset,
thank
but it's
you.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. Just for you. The next matchup that we have is Rosé and Olivia Lux. So these are two queens. This was the moment where I was like, okay, yeah, like maybe production did have a hand in putting these two queens next to each other because they have a history. Although I think Tina Burner maybe would have been another good one for Rosé. But Rosé and Olivia, their whole relationship is that Rosé was the judge or was hosting one of the competitions that Olivia Lux was in. And as we all know, Olivia Lux is a fetus in drag. She's very new to the scene. So it was interesting, Amon, that they put these two queens next to each other.
Yeah, I sort of love the fact that the whimsical Disney upstart beat the NYC legend here. I honestly think that Rosé did not see this coming. I don't think any of the queens saw any of this coming. And I don't necessarily know if the win was warranted. I love Olivia Lux. I don't know if she really beat Rosé here. Like, Rosé was doing like all these like little pirouettes at the end. I was like, I don't know. Like, that was kind of cool. Like, she kind of spun it in her favor for me. So,
is there?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
Do you think the reveal was the reason why Olivia won? Because I don't think anybody expected that was a skirt.
Yeah, that was the one part that shocked me.
Mm-hmm. I certainly was like, I don't know how much longer she's going to be able to do this song in that really skinny dress. And then when she took it off, it was definitely, you know, a story was being told. Yeah. Let's just say, but I don't know.
Rosé prematurely wiped off her missing tooth.
I didn't understand why she did that. Like, go with the shtick, you know?
She lost her signature look before she went in to go lip sync.
Oh, okay. That's her signature look. I thought it was the pink, but that makes more sense. The missing tooth, I think, mm-hmm. is a little bit better. Yeah, it was so funny when she walked in. She's like, oh, I'm the first one. I'm doing this shtick for no one. And maybe her plan all along was to come in with the tooth and then to rub it off. I'm not quite sure because it felt odd that she just then, you know, mm-hmm. she took a little trip to the dentist and got that all cleared up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we have Rosé and Olivia Lux lip sync to X's and O's by Ellie King. Love this song. And by the way, I can't believe we didn't mention this. Rosé is in Stephanie's Child, Jan's the girl group that has Jan in it. I was like, oh my God, that's what I know her from. As soon as I saw this wig, I was like, oh yes. Okay. Gotcha.
There's so much Drag Race lore and legacy in this episode. I'm just going to start calling it Drag L&L. Like, we got the whole Aja and Candy and now Jan and Rosé and then the poor Chop Lounge of it all. There's just so much to like digest in this episode.
Just like the pork chops.
I feel like what we're seeing is, you know, over the years, and I really think it started with season 8. Before season 8, it was really like an LA queen competition. You had so many queens from LA, and like that, they were the ones that were like incestuous with their families and such. And now it's just turned into a whole New York affair since season 8. Don't get me wrong, LA, New York, they both have amazing queens. They have their own style of drag. There's a lot of having to, you know, there's a lot of grit that goes into the New York City drag scene. You really have to fight for your spots and you need to host and you need to do those different kinds of things. But it does create some interesting drama. In this season alone, I think what we're going to end up seeing is if Rosé sticks around Tina Burner and her, I think, are going to have some things. This mm-hmm. idea that she lost to Olivia is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that I think that this is going to be a really interesting season. And I think Rosé is going to be a really interesting character to follow along with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one part of the edgic reading here that I felt pretty good about was I don't think Rosé is going to be going home because I think we're going to get the payoff of the Tina Burner Rosé relationship at some point mm-hmm. in time. So it's like, okay, this episode may have been OTTNNNNN, but at least like Rosé is looking okay here.
Yeah.
Rosé is my favorite character from season 13.
Okay, fabulous. I was also super high on Rosé coming into the season. So what is it, Rob, that makes you say that?
I just feel like that she comes in as sort of like, you know, I'm also watching The Challenge this season. She comes in as sort of like, she's not a returning player, but she's sort of like, I know everybody. Like, I got this all figured out. Like, the fresh meat is not going to beat me. Like, I like the arrogance. I like that there's like built-in rivalries already with a couple of the other players from the New York scene. So, also, I think that she's very accomplished as a queen. So I'm here for it with Rosé. Mm-hmm.
I think the vibes I get from Rosé are Willem vibes. She gives me the connections that Willem had going into an accomplished resume before going in. She's kind of legendary from the town that she's in. The confidence bordering on arrogance, the quick little quips that she has. I also... Liana and I really were high on Rosé on our list going in. And one of the reasons why we were high was I thought she had the best sense of self out of all the queens, knew what her strengths and her weaknesses were and is like, well, if this is my weakness, I'm still going to make it work for me, which a lot of queens can't do when it comes to the competition. So I'm excited to hopefully see much more of her.
I felt like she was a little thrown off in the lip sync, but of course, understandably so, because, you know, who is expecting this? I have high hopes for her. I think she'll do well. I think, yeah, the extra drama, if, you know, get a little production interference in there, they want these storylines to pay off before the queens go home. So she'll be fine.
Even when she was leaving, she was like, I mean, I can't actually be leaving now, right? You're not like getting rid of me, right? I'm going to walk out this door, but goodbye.
I don't know what's going on. She's like, neither do I.
Yeah.
Bye.
Really weird.
Yeah. No, I did love that, too. She knows she's not going home. She knew. She was the one also in the pork chop lounge that was the most positive about, oh, we're going to get a second chance. We're going to, you know, so we'll talk about the vote, but. Yeah, Love and Rosé. I think in the lip sync, I think they were both very upbeat. I think Rosé built to the momentum, but Olivia was maybe vibing a little bit more with the music, which is why she ultimately got the win here. She also had the reveal.
Although, one with the music.
One with the music. Rosé did take her jacket off, but still, I think I'm okay with the decision, and I feel like Rosé will be all right. So ultimately, I'm fine. I'm fine here with the outcome. Let's move
on
to
our unpack her suitcase.
She didn't even get to. Oh, my God. Let's move on to the very last matchup we have. This I was like, OK, so we're going along. Right. And it's like 2v2v2. It's like, but I know there's 13 queens.
Yeah.
That's why Beth's idea of, oh, maybe a 14th queen would have worked out. Producer's like, nah, it's fine. Just throw the rest. Just put the rest all up on stage with Tina Burner, Kimora Hall and Elliot with two T's just to go against each other. Where do you want to start?
I didn't like Tina's look. I really didn't. I mean, I get that she was supposed to be a New York firefighter, but I just didn't. I didn't like it.
She's a hot
obviously,
dog.
Kimora, exactly.
Sexy she's, hot dog. She's,
the Halloween
Kimora
classic.
Kimora looked the best to me. I didn't really like Elliot's look. Either I just this last three I just felt like as soon as Tina walked out on stage I was like okay she's gonna win a lip sync like is it so I just felt like the very last was just sort of just like oh I was like ready for the episode to just tell me what was going to happen next once these three people came out and the fact that they once again wasted a juggernaut of a crowd pleasing song like Lady Marmalade on this inconsequential ass lip sync. What are y'all doing? Like, I get it. Like, there's multiple parts in the songs.
You have to get three don't queens you need four queens for Lady Marmalade?
You do need four, exactly. Technically. You do need four. I understood what they were trying to go for, but then why would you give it to somebody like Kimora, who I stand corrected. I gave the bitch a 7 in our little preview. Obviously, she's not much of a lip syncer in terms of this style of music. So why, knowing that, because I know the producers know that, why would you waste Lady Marmalade on these three? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I felt like this would have been the perfect song back in season 10 when RuPaul was like, okay, literally everybody's going to lip sync because I didn't like any of your performances this week. Like, that would have been a great time to make
and
everybody.
And what are the politics of this song? Like, do you choose a certain part to know? Because right. If I want to stand out, like, I'm just going to let them, you know, do the Christina part or the pink part or whatever. And then I want to come through with the Lil' Kim. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what am I supposed to be doing here?
But I love what Tina did. And I mean, there was no comparison. Like, Tina absolutely just rocked this and the other two were there. Mm-hmm. And she just had almost like a comedic personality that was slightly different for each part of the song, which is the way you're, mm-hmm. I guess, if you have to lip sync to it, you got to do it. You know, if you're going to be Christina, you got to like really get into like the little like, Like that kind of stuff, you know. If you're gonna,
those kind of nice.
I am the music studio, so. But it's there's different aspects to it. I like that she brought different styles of comedy to it. Great song. Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, I think, is that 33% chance, okay, of winning here versus 50% chance. The math don't add up, people. Okay, that's just like mm-hmm. seems so unfair to put the three next to each other. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there was, you know, a little reason why these queens were chosen. I vibed with Tina more than I thought I would. It was a huge voice in the confessionals. We got so much of her. I feel like she'll probably be our narrator this season, assuming that she lasts a while. Cause it was very overpowering. The smell of that hot dog, Rob, just like wafted through my television. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was a big personality. And you know, for me, like, I don't know so much from with the looks, you know, who's giving good, face, who's got the beat, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but in terms of like, who's, the personalities, like, who's really like bringing it in the confessionals. I felt like that, Tina Burner was another real standout.
Mm-hmm. And I figured
the dynamic with Kimora. I thought that like her calling out Kimora for being like intentionally shady. It's like, oh, so you just wish this is your shtick. You're that queen this season. Okay, mm-hmm. Here we go.
But I like the shade too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked Kimora much more with her personality engaging with queens than I did in the Meet the Queens video. So I was, Kimora was my last place person. I just felt like I didn't see anything from her in the Meet the Queens. I still kind of feel that way, but I do feel like she was, at least she was shady and kind of funny in that way. And I was like, okay, well, at least if you're going to be on my television, you're going to bring something to it. Mm-hmm. Elliot was somebody I was pretty high on, actually, relatively. I think she was like 6 or something like that for me. And I like Ahmad, I retract what I said. I didn't see much of anything here from her. I liked her promo look because it was like, oh yeah, I can almost see like a Golden Girls kind of thing. But then she walks in and I'm like, okay, another Golden Girls kind of esque idea. You got this like floral jacket 80s kind of thing going on. I don't know. I just generally felt like Tina was the standout star from this and there was no way for either one to compete with it.
Right. I think that's what's so hard was when Tina is such a force, it's really difficult for the other two. Elliot in the lip sync, I lost her for so long until she did the splits. And I thought Elliot was fun in the confessionals. I just feel like she's overpowered by someone so strong as Tina. Mm-hmm. And Kimora trying to get everyone to talk about their looks. She asked both of the queens when she came in, oh, who are you? Like, what are you wearing? Who are you wearing? And finally on the main stage got to announce that this is a Bob Mackie original. She won. Wanted to say that so bad.
And then she had it resized because she needed it. I'm less impressed by that. Am I wrong for saying that? I've like literally
so
like
she got it resized?
No. Just the idea that she was like, yeah, I bought an original Bob Mackie. And I'm like, that doesn't impress me. That just means you have money. It doesn't mean that you had some kind of vision and were able to construct it with another designer or yourself or something like that. When it comes to this competition, I have so much more of a respect for people who can create costumes, dresses, whatever it is, from an idea they have in their head, or at least collaborate with somebody who can execute it. I'm less impressed by someone who can have a wallet and go out and buy something.
My impression of her is going down.
Sliding down Denali, which might happen. They're all living together. We don't know. We don't know. The other thing with Elliot is that I feel like in her interactions with the judges, she missed maybe one of the jokes, and that does not bode well for her if you can't have that natural rapport with the judges. So that, that makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But
you know, had a good answer with Ross. They were able to like ping pong back and forth. I was like, okay, this bodes well for Snatch Game.
Exactly.
The same thing with Simone. She had some pretty good banter with the judges. Like, okay, that's some winner's edit material. So there are some clear standouts already. Yeah.
But Tina Burner did say that she's going to have to give up masturbating for a year, because she said, I would give up masturbating for a year to hear Tina Burner Shantae Uste, which she did indeed hear. So maybe we can get some exit press. It's get Mike Bloom on this. It's full Bloom way. Have him ask this question. I'll have to see if he does exit press. But that was hilarious. Well, so Tina Burner obviously wins this lip sync. We've been new, like, I know, you know, the popo knew Tina Burner gonna win here. And then we sort of get our final twist. If Drag Race could hit us with one more thing, it had to be a final vote. Because apparently that is how one of the queens is going to go home. So we've already separated them into two groups. And now this group in the Pork Chop Lounge is going to have to vote somebody off. Beth, we have not seen this in regular Drag Race, only in All Stars. I see you shaking your head.
I just, you know, the All Stars twist of voting each other out, I actually like that, because you're coming back, you have more money, you already have a platform, people know you, and people, honestly, when you come back from All Stars, the same format just doesn't work. You need to judge it up a little bit. So I don't mind the social strategy of trying to maneuver an All Stars twist. I hate it for this. I hate it for new queens who have done everything they can to get on the show. It's equivalent to me as like a Big Brother night one vote off. Like, this is ridiculous. And I don't know. I just really hate the idea that someone doesn't go home because of their merits, but goes home because of a vote in a competition that's all about the talent that you bring to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Rob, obviously you have plenty of experience voting for people, but this is a show that is not a social strategy game, right? Mm-hmm. This is a show that is based on talent. So I don't know if it necessarily fits here.
It definitely doesn't fit here. But can I tell you what really annoyed me the most about it was that they did it as a cliffhanger. You're going to vote somebody off. Just vote somebody off in the first episode. I hate it so much when a reality show does this, where it's like, okay, but tune in next time for the battle match for the elimination of it. It's so annoying that like, I get it that it's bad and it's not Drag Race, but also if you're going to do it, don't also do it as a cliffhanger in an episode where all you did was lip sync in the first show. If you're going to do a vote, then do the vote in the first episode too.
Speak about cruel. This one was cruel to us, Aman. I just did not like this.
So, I mean, I rolled my eyes. I rolled my eyes because...
What kind of All-Stars bullshit is this, Aman? Was this you? Were you Denali in this moment?
Look, to me, it was just like, they are not going to pull together 13 girls in the middle of a panoramic and then send one of them back out into said panoramic after spending all of this money to making sure that they are not infected by the damn panoramic, okay? So we know that this is not going to pan out the way that they're trying to make us believe that it's going to pan out. So the fact that they are making them vote one of them off when that person probably is not going to go home, I'm like, okay, but that drama, I don't think you're going to get the drama that you're really looking for, because what I'm assuming is that person is probably going to stay by some kind of twist. They're not going to go home, which means you're going to want them to be pissed off at the rest of the cast that votes them off. But they're probably not going to get the opportunity to vote them off again because I don't foresee you guys having another vote off. So it's like, what is the point? Just to have them vote?
Well, I think... So that I think that's a good question is, do we think that this person who's going to be voted off is actually being voted off? Or to Beth's point, is this the, you know, edge of extinction twist brought to Drag Race? Are we going to have a Chris Underwood come back and win this whole thing after competing in a separate room with all the other queens? I don't know.
I mean, if it's the Chris Underwood, we'll see plenty of meaty tucks again this time. So it could very well be Chris Underwood situation.
Get those gifts ready. Yeah, talk about a panorama. You need one. Underwood.
So I feel like that the Pork Chop Lounge is the edge of extinction. I don't think that they'll vote somebody out. Like, I think whoever is out then is actually out. I feel like that 13 people, like, I don't think that they're going to start to, like, fill up some sort of a... And again, I do not know the show. But it just seems like to me, I think that now once you vote somebody out, then I think they're out.
So, yeah, I'm actually with Rob here. I'm a little nervous that there isn't going to be some twist and that genuinely one of the queens is just going to be going home. Like, I
this wasn't making any sense to me because they don't have anything to go off of other than their conversation. Oh, yeah. The only people that have something to go off of would be Elliot and Kimora because they actually got to see one another lip sync. You know what I mean? Well, not even really because right. They're busy lip syncing themselves. So it's like, is this really kosher? Like, I just don't they talk about like wanting, and this wasn't this supposed to be the season of like positivity and like we're here to help you guys escape from the pandemic, and now you're making them vote one another off, and it's like you know that the fans are going to be pissed off when one of their faves goes home. Because imagine somebody like Rosé being sent home because they're like, you know what, I know we're supposed to vote somebody off that's supposed to be who we think is not prepared, but let's just get Rosé out of here because she's got Stephanie's Child, she's been on America's Got Talent, Jan is probably backing her to like the nth degree. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
Think like you have two queens that clearly know each other in Denali and Kimora, so they're not going to vote each other off, right? So you've got people who are already at an advantage there. My theory is that they don't vote immediately. I bet there is a challenge that only the seven of them do, and then based off of the critiques of the judges, like I think the next episode would likely be only those seven have to do the challenge. There's a critique, yeah. There's a runway, and then they vote, and like the other queens just watch, maybe? I don't know.
I'm just thinking, like, could they vote for somebody and it be sort of like a Survivor token chains where it's like, all right, vote for the person that you want out, and then that person like gets like a special power or something like that.
Like they get immunity or something.
Yeah.
There was a RuPaul did have immunity up until season six. Season six was the first time they didn't do it, which was if you won a challenge, you were immune from going home the next week. So he got rid of that because it was not warranted. There were queens that were like, you should have gone home, but you had immunity, specifically Alyssa Edwards. But there's. I can see them playing with the idea of immunity and bringing it back in some form. I mean, that would have been seven seasons ago that they got rid of it. So
one of the reasons why I'm nervous that this will actually be a vote out is next week in the preview, we see that this is going to be a girl group challenge. And the performance we see is the six queens that are safe. So it makes me a little nervous. The reason why we didn't see the other queens is because they needed six queens to compete against the queens that won. And we can't show you the queens that stayed because obviously that would spoil the show. So that's why we didn't get to see that type of footage.
But didn't they also show us footage of them voting? And I'm pretty sure they were voting in the outfits that they were in the pork lounge. So like, is it like an immediate vote and then they withhold the results and then they go and perform? Like, this whole thing just
that's
seems
a day one eviction for sure. Then Beth, like
that. It just gives me All Star 3 when they had the eliminated queens come back in their girl group against the. You know, the queens that are still in the competition. I don't know.
This is who is the Joey Rodriguez of the season? Because maybe that can help us identify.
We didn't do exit press.
Yeah. You know. Well, what's the over under on the person that gets the most votes will have what? 3 votes?
It's possible. So we have what? 7 queens that are in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean 4 would be the majority. So
yeah.
I mean,
I bet it's like a 3-1 to 1-1 to 1 type thing. Yeah.
I wonder if it's like a deliberation where they all sit together, or is it just like vote, go vote, don't talk, go vote.
Clearly they sat for a while because we had a whole Untucked issue. Like, and I will say this too, like, why do we have Untucked? Untucked was literally them saying the same thing over and over and over again, which was, wow, I came here and I can't believe I'm already going home. And then the other queens were like, doesn't it suck that if you had to go home already? Like, I mean, there was, that was literally all you got out of it. So I was like, why do we even have this? I don't know. I just, this is a mess. I'm hoping we can only go up from here, right? It can only get better.
That is the good news. Yes, I believe if we can make it through this vote out, then it's only up the mountain from here. Get your cameras ready for some beautiful panoramas, because that's my hope for the rest of this season. I don't know how it's going to go. It was a rough start, but I love the queens, and at least we get to see the queens for 2 episodes, even if for one of them it might be only briefly. But overall, you know what? Drag Race is back on my television. This was very cathartic for me. I feel much better having gone through this with all 3 of you. And like you said, it's only up from here. So let's just be positive about the rest of the season.
Can I say, I actually enjoyed Untucked. So first of all, I didn't know it was coming. It was a bit of a surprise for me, because I have like a 2-hour show recorded, and then I'm like, okay, we have 30 minutes left. And it's like, what, end of the show? And then we go right into a different show. And so a little bit of a surprise, but I'd say there was no lip syncing. So that was good. You know, I really enjoyed getting to see the queens. I know it was a lot of the same. There was some new stuff there. So I felt like that was, to me, that's what I thought I was getting in the premiere episode, was just the interaction between the people in the new cast.
Well, that is my favorite part of Drag Race, is the interactions between the cast members. Yeah. So yeah, that's what Untucked has going for it.
I did laugh at the fact that, like, it seems like Tina Burner kind of feels the same way about Rosé as I did in the preseason, where I was like, oh my God, it's the resume. And she's like, yeah, she did this. She did America's Got Talent. She did that. But apparently she can't lip sync. I was like, oop.
That was some good shade. That's why I can't wait. Rosé and Tina are 2 gigantic New York City comedian hosts, those kind of things. And clearly they have some kind of rivalry. And so they're not going home anytime soon. I really don't think Rosé is going to go home first. They wouldn't have. I don't think they would. I think they would have found a way to keep her in. I'll put it that way.
Who do we think is going to go home first?
I don't know.
If it's an immediate vote, maybe the people that came in last. I could see Kimora getting voted out, or Elliot, because I could see the other girl. We know Tamisha's not going anywhere.
I don't think Kimora will go home for a vote either, because Denali and her are friends. So I don't think Denali will. So I think it's going to either be Joey or Elliot with 2 T's. Mm-hmm.
It's possible. I mean, you might only need 2 votes, though, to go home. So it doesn't necessarily matter if you don't have the plurality. But I just
Ellie, the 2 votes.
Oh, no.
She gets that extra vote. Hope she uses it correctly. Otherwise, I'll show up.
What's the over under on somebody, whoever gets voted out first, say they actually go home? There's no safety. They're not on an edge. They're not anything like that. Just being invited to come back the next season. Like, there you go. Come back next season.
Yes, there's room for everybody. Yep.
I just, like, could you imagine if it is Tamisha and she gets on season 12 and then gets on season
13, darkest timeline,
and then just comes
don't
out.
Hear about it.
Don't put it in the universe. Don't like that.
Mm-hmm. The nice thing is, she
would drag RuPaul to the pits and not be here, like in every tweet, like in every Instagram post, like sending her money on Venmo. Like, I would be so Team Tamisha if they did that to her.
Oh my God. It could be Tamisha and Asia O'Hara's Drag Race from here on out. You know,
yes.
Fine with that. Let's start to wrap things up. So, Rob, final impressions. What did you enjoy your time watching? Do you want to come back for a real episode at some point in time with less lip syncs?
Yeah, I would love to come back if you would have me. You know, I'm interested to see how these characters end up, interacting with each other. You know, I it's been a few seasons since I had watched an episode, so I kind of like was not super familiar with like the format of the show right now. So, you know, I would like to see like a normal episode in terms of like what they're doing these days on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's not this. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Not this. I got that. This. Yeah. That big lip sync guy.
Yeah, which is fair. That's fair. That's fair. So we won't have you for the finale then. So we'll do some. That's also very lip sync heavy.
All lip sync.
So
yeah.
Next time we have a podcast house, we have to have like a lip sync bracket, and we're going to have Rob lip sync for his life 6 times in a row. He wins every single one. He just goes into the next one, just 6 mm-hmm. times.
Well, I think we also then have to put together the relationships, the mothers, the podcast mothers, podcast fathers. I'm excited for my assignments. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. All right. So Amon, Beth, do you guys have any final thoughts on this premiere before we get out of here?
No,
I enjoyed it upon the rewatch. It definitely is not going into the Drag Race Premier Pantheon, but I'm excited for the queens. I still am very like I'm excited that a lot of my opinions were changed when actually getting to watch a lot of them. So I'm excited to see where this goes, and hopefully they just go back to basics and just let us enjoy the Drag Race as it is.
Yeah, so. I love the cast. So
I think that's what the season has going for it. That this is a really strong cast. I still stand by that. You know, this is one of the stronger casts that we've seen. It's just can production get their shit together? I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'd love to see it. All right. Amon, where can people actually, you know what? Let's toss it to Rob. Rob, what do you have going on? Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the new year on Rob Has a Podcast, including that we just started something called the RHAP Rewind, where every month we are going to be rewatching an old show, and we're going to be going through it week by week in the course of the month. So in the month of January, we were watching Kid Nation, Phil Thompson, who as a young child of 8 years old was exposed to Kid Nation by his dad, that he has watched the show a number of times, and him and I are going through all of Kid Nation this month on Rob's a Podcast. They're all up on YouTube if you want to check it out. I had never seen it. It is wild, Kid Nation. And so the first episode is up on robhasawebsite.com. And then episode 2 is coming out this Friday. We're also going to start our top 40 season rankings this week. You could check that out. We're going to be talking about the worst season of all time. So get ready for that coming up this week. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off, talk about the worst Survivor season with a panel discussion this week, and then we'll talk about the 39th best season of Survivor next week until we get all the way down to number one. And then, of course, on Monday, I will be back with the great Pooja Zambakili to talk about this week in 90 Day Fiancé. We had a great chat with Liana last week talking about 90 Day Fiancé, and I can't wait for the new episode tonight.
Just to go back, is Phil Thompson's podcast father, are they going to be related in some way? Or?
I think they're more of like a Rose and Tina Burner of of Phil T supremacy.
Okay, great. But yeah, definitely check out the 90 Day Podcast. That was really fun to talk with Pooja and Rob, and I'm sure Pooja will be on his tip top game.
You won't get anything wrong. Form. Yeah.
Yeah, to go over everything, get everything right. Mm-hmm. All right. And Beth, what about you? Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
Yes, people can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me at twitch.tv/AugustaWind11. You'll find me playing video games like Dead by Daylight, Among Us, Phasmophobia, those kind of things. But you'll also have me podcasting with my weekly meltdown, where we're talking about the challenge in Survivor, heroes versus villains. And so it's a lot of fun. We're having a good old time. And what a great season Heroes versus Villain was. So it's been fun to revisit.
I don't think that'll be the worst season. So I don't think Rob will be part
of that. I have a feeling we're going to have to wait 40 weeks, if you get my drift.
We'll see. Amon, how about you? Where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. As always, I'm still keeping it kicking with my Glee podcast with Matt. We just recorded a bunch of character we recorded a bunch of episodes. We are going to be releasing them this week. And yeah. Oh, also follow us on TikTok. We got a TikTok now.
Hey. Ooh. Wait, is it the choir room TikTok?
It's the choir room TikTok, baby.
Oh, I love that. I'm excited then for when you start your TikTok house. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, yes. we can all Lab move house. In.
We gather all my children.
Exactly. Have some fun parties. Sink some boats. No big deal. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. We will, of course, be back next week to talk about hopefully a better episode 2 of this season of Drag Race. And if you are also starved for a little bit of content, check out The Masked Dancer. We and I recorded our first podcast about The Masked Dancer. I think we're only going to do a mid-season check-in and then talk about the finale, but it was so stupid. But it was really, really fun. And of course, Puya and I have a blast talking about it. So even if you don't want to watch the show, check out the podcast for sure. Yeah. Because
is The Masked Dancer a show full of lip sync for your life?
Well, their lips don't move. So I think RuPaul would be really unhappy. Please, take the mask. I'd like to keep it on. Please remove the mask type moments from The Masked Dancer. But it's so weird. It's because they have back dancers, but they're dancing, but the backup dancers are better than them. So they're being upstage constantly on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of celebrities. We had a fun unmasking, lots of great characters. So I think it'll be a great time. Another random panel of people to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let us get out of here. If you want to leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes, that's super helpful, especially at the beginning of a new season. It helps everybody find the podcast and really gets us out there, hopefully in a good way, not like episode 1 of this season. Also, shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for everything that Scott does. If you're interested in supporting this, not only can you leave a review, but you could also join Patreon at Rob Has a Podcast. Check out our patreon.com Rob Has a Podcast to support everything that we do here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups, as well as freaking Kid Nation, the Survivor Rewatch, the 90 Day Fiance Podcast, and many more wonderful things over here at RHAP, a house that I am so proud to be a part of.
Can I just say, this was such a fun kiki with everybody here today.
Okay, Rob coming through with the drag terminology. I'm so proud.
Geeking, no kai kaiing, because we're all related. We're all family here. thank you so much, Rob. I forgot to thank you earlier for coming and being a part of this. Again, like I said, this was so much better having you here to help us get through this mess. And it was
just glad really you didn't ask me to lip sync for my life.
You'll never have to lip sync.
I would have effed it up.
Would you have known the words? Well, don't worry. We'll give you an iPod beforehand with all the music on it, so at least you'll be somewhat prepared for our lip sync battles.
Okay, I might accidentally delete the songs and put podcasts on it.
We'll send it on Slack then, just for backup, you know?
I would love to see you lip sync for your life, but it's a podcast, like a 2-minute podcast section. Yeah.
Well, I heard a hot take recently that people that listen to a lot of podcasts do not have good taste in music because they're too busy listening to podcasts. That might be true.
That's okay. So I was going to say, is that a Renap idea? More of a 32 Fans idea, I think, to do the podcast lip sync for your life battle. Make it a bracket. It's perfect. You'll love to see it. To see it. Chester's charts. I can't wait to see what his chart is for this.
Yeah, I think TikTok Nicole does a lot of that.
I love that.
There you go. And get her in the choir room collab, Amon. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta get this crossover appeal. I'm down for it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.